friends, and welcome back to the Level Up Podcast, the ultimate podcast for all things gaming. I'm your host, Cece, and today is the day that I wanted to talk about DLCs. Okay, what is a DLC? What does it stand for? DLC stands for downloadable content. So what that means is it doesn't come with a base game. It's usually developed, sometimes it's developed like at the same time as a game, but usually it's afterwards, and it's like an expansion to the base game. So they can add new characters. Usually it adds like a new plot line that you start with your character that you've been the whole time, and you kind of just travel to a new location, meet new people, get new things, investigate new stories. It's a fun time. And a lot of the DLCs that I'm going to be talking about today have to do with like story. It's a little good story, and I think y'all know that. Plot is really important to me. I think that it's like the heart of the game, obviously. But I love a DLC, and I thought I would talk about my favorite DLCs. So surprise, surprise. They're going to be games that I think I've talked about all of them, actually. Looking at my list, they're all games that I've talked about. So hopefully you have at least sort of like a base idea, but I'll be going over like the contents of each DLC, why I like them so much. Sit back and relax. Grab yourself a nice little beverage. Weirdly cold and rainy outside today, so womp womp. But let's get started. So when I was trying to think of the list of my favorite DLCs, some of them were easy, and some of them I kind of had to think about, because I think I've played a lot of games that have a lot of DLCs, and some of them aren't that great. Some of them just don't add as much as I wanted it to. A lot of times when DLCs are added to the game, if you're in a game that has like a level cap, it usually raises that level cap, because obviously as you play the game, you'll get more experience, you'll become more... It's just, it adds a lot more to the game. And a lot of times when they add things to the game, like as far as like DLC content, I wish that it was in the base game too, because I think that it's a lot of fun. So for example, this isn't one of my favorites. It's probably one of my least favorites, but it's an example. So in Mass Effect 2, they have an expansion or a DLC called, I think it's called Overlord. I kind of hate it, but they add just like a new story, new characters, but they add like a new vehicle, the hammer something. Anyway, it's this like flying vehicle where you can like jump jet across something. And I like it, at least in Mass Effect 2, I like it a little bit better than Mako, just because I think it gets you around a little bit better. Mako will always be number one in my heart, but it would have been cool to see that like in the base game. So that vehicle in the base game. So that's just an example. Not a very good one, but anyway, let's actually get into it. So the first one on my list, and this isn't any particular order. I'll probably talk about the ones that I like better longer. Yeah, better longer. So the first one is Dishonored's DLCs. I think there's more than one. So there's The Knife of Dunwall, which is an interesting take, because instead of you being Corvo Tano, you're playing as Billy Lurk, which I'll get into it in a little bit. But then there's also the other DLC, The Brigamore Witches. And these two, I had to kind of think about this DLC because I kind of forgot about it. But when I was going back into my little Steam list and looking at like all the DLCs that I played, Dishonored 1, I probably think did the best with setting up the conflict for the next game. So in Knife of Dunwall, it plays a little bit more into sort of the like, not the main antagonist of the game, but sort of like, so Dowd, okay, gotta go into it. So in Dishonored, the whole premise is you're playing Corvo Tano, who was the Empress's like bodyguard, basically. She gets killed by Dowd and Billy Lurk. So it explores their story. Dowd, I think, is a really cool character. I liked that you got to see, like if you listen to his recordings in the base game, you can see and hear, I guess, if you're listening to him, his like inner turmoil of killing the Empress. So in Knife of Dunwall, I think it takes place after Corvo's. I think, if I'm thinking correctly, it plays after Corvo Etano's, like, story in the base game. So it explores Billy Lurk, which is she comes back into Dishonored 2 as Megan, who's like the boat captain that drives you around. And I think it's really cool that you get to see her side of the story. The like actual gameplay of the game wasn't my favorite. I think the story was more of what I was. I just thought that it was really cool that they explored characters that clearly had a lot of lore that you can tell in the game, and that you actually got to explore that lore later in the game, if that makes sense. Brigamorn Witches explored the main antagonist of Dishonored 2, Delilah. Hey, Delilah. And you see, basically, I think you are playing as Dowd in this one. And that has a lot of like fun little side quests that you, not side quests, it's like main quests of the main quest. But basically, you come to the end and you are sending Delilah into the void, which makes the start of 2 when you're like, oh, it's her. How did she come back? So conveniently, I actually played Dishonored DLCs actually right before Dishonored 2, right before it came out, because I kind of forgot that DLCs were kind of a thing. So when I played Dishonored, I was like, oh, I wonder if this game actually has DLCs that I should play before Dishonored 2. So really good timing on my part. But I just like that explored some characters in the game, their lore before and after. And also it set up the beginning story of Delilah in Dishonored. So I just thought it was really cool how they implemented that. I think that that was a good strategy on their part. So the next one on my list is I'm going to gush about is Mass Effect 3's Citadel DLC, because I think it is spectacular. So I think that they just did a really good job of implementing like the gravity of the situation that you're in Mass Effect 3 into Citadel. So throughout Mass Effect, you have a bunch of different companions that you have, and they're great. I love the companions in Mass Effect, as I've gushed about in the last episode. But as you go through different stories, you get different companions, and some of them you don't have access to in a later game. But in DLC, it has the opportunity where every character that you like all of your companions that you've had, all come together to fight your clone. Just so funny to me that they did that. Like, you are playing a shepherd, and of course they made a Cerberus made a clone of you just like backup, and the clone is bananas. But I think it's just a silly story, but I think that they tied it in really well. So they've got a lot of like cutesy little bits of, like, for example, in Mass Effect 1 you have, or not Rex, I love Rex. He's one of my favorites. And in 2, if you play like the story, not correctly, but if you play a particular way, he shows up again in 2, but you don't get to have him fight with you. In 3, you don't get to have him fight with you. But if you have the Citadel, you can go into this like battle arena where you can have him, or you just have like access to all of your companions, not all of them, but a lot more anyway, you can take him with you for battle. And I think that that's really cool that they brought back those characters. And they had characters from 1 and 2 interact with characters from 3 and vice versa. And at the end, you just, like, after you complete basically killing your clone because they're evil and trying to throw out your hamster and take over your ship. And that's rude because you're trying to save the world. And I just think at the end, like when they have the party, and then at the end of the party, you have that scene where you're like all coming back onto the ship and you're like, oh, the gravity of the situation, we're actually trying to save the world. And I just thought that they did a really good job implementing, like, I feel like I have to look into it more, but I think that they definitely took into like the fans' considerations of like, oh, here are all the things that we love about the game. And they kind of meshed it into a story with just, it was hard. It was hard to play like the physical combat of it. I think when I first played the DLC, I was some sort of like infiltrator, and I had a mean time trying to kill my clone, because your clone is you. It's just like the AI version of you playing against you, and they're hard. So I just think that that was a really good, it was very heartwarming and cutesy, but it was fun. And I think that like adding the little bits, because you don't get to see certain characters interact with other characters in the story, and it was cool to see them do that. The next one on my list is the Trespasser DLC from Dragon Age Inquisition. And this one kind of is similar to Dishonored in the aspect of like they expanded more on the lore of characters that you met, because, and they also did a little bit of, I guess it's a combination of Dishonored DLC and also Mass Effect Citadel DLC, because in Dragon Age Inquisition, it's set, I don't know if it's too long after, like a couple years after you finish like the base game. And then a couple of years later, you're all of your teammates are kind of brought together and you have the opportunity to see like what the characters have done after that game, like where they've gone to, what they've decided to do. But then it also really expands on Solus's story in the game. So like they connect how he was just this like egghead mage that somehow showed up with all the right answers. But then they actually explain like the Dreadwolf side of it. And I think that they built the suspension on it. I meant to say it builds the suspense, not the suspension, because that doesn't make any sense. Really well, because you're like, you've got the Qunari invading and you're like, why are they talking about this? And I have no idea how the story connects. And then you're like, oh, it's Solus. And you've got that little like final bit where you see this like God version of him, like the Dreadwolf version of him. And I think that that was a really good transition between Dragon Age Inquisition, like the base game, because they have that like little 30 second blurb where he obviously has some sort of magic and kills Mythal. And they could have not done or made the Trespasser DLC and jumped into 3, but I think it didn't really it wouldn't have established what it did in Trespasser, like seeing the gravity of the situation. And I think that that's why like the Trespasser DLC did a really good job of like explaining just who Solus / the Dreadwolf is, and like the power he wields and what he's trying to do, which is why he wanted the orb from Gravius. Anyway, it just ties all like the loose ends together. And when you played that into Veilguard, I think they kind of missed that a little bit. And I think that's why like Veilguard wasn't, it's a great game, but and I've done 2 episodes about this, but that's why it like it made sense, but it like didn't really make sense at the same time. So Trespasser DLC, it talked about Solus, but it also talked about like the companions and where they were. But I think it's just a really good like ending to the game. The next one that I'm going to talk about is actually a group, like a expansion pack, I suppose. And that's Fallout New Vegas's DLCs. And I know I didn't say I had any favorites, but I think just like as a whole of what they did with multiple DLCs and putting them together, like they have a recommendation of how you play the DLCs. So there are 4 DLCs for Fallout New Vegas, and they each expand and connect with the other DLCs, which is really cool, right?
Right.
So when I played Fallout New Vegas for the first time, like the game, and then I went into the DLCs, I didn't do them in the correct order. And it actually wasn't until recently, because I played Fallout New Vegas all the time. But the DLCs are a really big reason why I love the game. Because out of my favorite of the 4, I would probably say Old World Blues is my favorite, which is probably an unpopular opinion, but I just think that they did a really good job, because I'm a funny girl, right? I love comedy. And I love having, like, that's why I really like Mass Effect Citadel and the Trespasser DLC, it's because they've got so many funny little bits in it. But in Old World Blues, you're basically like, as the courier, you transported to the big mountain and you meet these weird scientist robots. And like the premise of how they were actually humans that were turned into robots and all of like the experiments they did is awful. It's like horrid. Like that's how the Fallout world is based on a lot of like horror elements, but the fact that they like made it comedic and that the robots are actually really dumb. They're supposed to be these like mad geniuses, but they're dumb. And then you've got just the whole quest of like, you're going out to get things, but what's the point? You get a satellite antenna because why not? And they explain it at the end, but it's like, I think it's just really silly. Hey, it's me again, Editor Sisu. So this transition is really weird because I looked at like the order of what you're supposed to play the DLCs, and then I didn't really connect it into the rest of the podcast. So this is the transition. Woo! Okay, so that is interesting. So a lot of people say that there isn't really a like listed order of how you should do it, but they want Lonesome Road to be the last one. So there are the four DLCs in Fallout New Vegas is Old World Blues, which is the robot one that I just talked about, Dead Money, Honest Hearts, and Lonesome Road. So the developers released the DLCs in a specific order. So I think Dead Money came out first, then Honest Hearts, Old World Blues, and then Lonesome Road. So that's how a lot of people play the game or play the DLCs. So in Dead Money, that's probably my least favorite one. It's grown on me a little bit, but it's so annoying to play. I think the story is great and the characters are really interesting, but Dead Money is a very difficult DLC because DLCs kind of do this thing where you have two options. If they're nice to you, the developers in the game, when you transition into the DLC, you usually get a prompt being like, are you sure you want to enter this DLC? It'll cut off main access to the story, or it'll show some spoilers, or whatever it says. But in the two options they give you is that, like, as your character, you have your, obviously, your points and your skills and stuff, but they have the option of allowing you to keep all of your equipment and your supplies and your guns or your weapons or whatever. Or if they're mean, which is what they do in Dead Money, is they take all of that away from you. So basically you have the skill points. So you're level 30, you're at level 30, but you're with nothing. So you, all of those cool, fancy gadgets and skills and weapons and armor that you worked really hard to get, gone, poof, you're starting over. And that's what Dead Money did, which is what a lot of DLCs do. But it's tricky because in Dead Money, the bad guys are really hard to kill. They've got this weird environment with, they have this like red fog. I forget the name of it. Poisonous fog? No. Red haze? Whatever it is. That like slowly degenerates your health over time. You don't have armor, so you're two hits and you're dead. And it's a really hard DLC. But Old World Blues kind of explains certain characters that aren't in the game, but like are behind the scenes in the game. So you've got Sinclair, who's this guy, all the lore of Fallout. So you've got the people that built like the Nuka Cola company. You've got people that built like the, basically just the people that were before the war. They explain like the lore of how things got to where they are. I think that's what's really interesting, because obviously when you play a game, you've got certain questions like how things came to be, how like civilizations grew, how like people responded, blah, 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 blah. And I think the Fallout DLCs really did an interesting job and a great job of explaining the story of everything that led up to where you are in the game. And that's probably why Fallout New Vegas' DLC are my favorite, just because they expand beyond just the current situation that you're in. So in Dead Money, they talk about this, like you're stripped of all your stuff. You have to go find these companions and they all have to work together to open the casino, because there's this big casino that has all the money and all the goods and all the stuff that you're trying to get to. And this guy is like using you. His name is Elijah. He's trying to use you so he can get in. But it's interesting because the characters in the game, so you've got Elijah, who you see in the wasteland as you're like exploring the game, they expand on him a lot more. So he's in Dead Money and a little bit in Old World Blues. You've got Christine, who's in both. You've got Ulysses, who you hear in the base game. He's in The Lonesome Road. So they just expand on a lot of characters that you've heard a lot about that lead up to where you are as the courier in Fallout New Vegas and expand on it. So if you play it in order, you've got Dead Money. So you learn about more about Elijah. You learn more about Christine. You learn more about just the Sierra Madre as a whole. And then you go into Honest Hearts. And then you've got Old World Blues. So like I said, you've got the robots. But in Old World Blues, if you kind of look and adventure around all of the map, you see remnants of all of Elijah there. So he went to, for in Elijah's story, basically, he was a part of the Brotherhood of Steel. He went to Big Mountain, which is Old World. Why is it so hard for me to say? Old World Blues. He went there to like learn about the technology, and then he went to Dead Money. And Christine, also part of the Brotherhood of Steel, was trying to find him to stop him from doing whatever he was doing. So she also went to Big Mountain and then left. At the same time, so you've got that separate story, but then you've also got the other story of Ulysses. He also was in Big Mountain. So as the courier, you're kind of retracing their steps. So as their characters, they start with Big Mountain and then go to the Sierra Madre. When you come in, you're going to the Sierra Madre first, and then you go to Big Mountain. So it's like learning more about the characters that you just met. So you can play them in any order. You can like follow their footsteps exactly, or which is usually what I do, because I think that that's like, I'm like, oh, I want to know about the details of how they came to be before I go and meet them. But they explain more on that. So in The Lonesome Road, which is canonically the like the last one that you play, because it's kind of weird. I've never really understood this, actually, of when, because at the end, so Ulysses, right? He is this courier. I can't remember if he's the one that knew you had the platinum chip or whatever. Anyway, he's this character who's like goading you on. He was basically in the same footsteps, like did the same things that the courier, aka like the character that you play. Obviously, you go after, like in the main story, you play as the courier. You got the platinum chip. The platinum chip is taken from you. You were shot in the head, but you don't die because you're really cool and you survive and you're tough. And you basically follow the steps of Benny, who's the guy that shot you and stole your platinum chip. And the platinum chip is this like big thing that can upgrade the defense system of New Vegas's like city. And so that's like the story that you find. Ulysses like knows all of this. Like he knows who you are, like in the lore. You as a courier and Ulysses have sort of like crossed paths a couple times. But then he sends you a message and he's like, come follow the Lonesome Road. And so you go, and the Lonesome Road is hard. You've got that like little highway. You've got tunnelers. Awful. You've got the Deathclaw like central highway. That's awful. It's a hard combat. But at the end, he's basically telling you, he's a yapper. He tells you sort of how he came to be, what he learned, and he's trying to basically force you to become allies with him. And if you say no, he attacks you, you have to kill him. But basically, he's set up these nukes that are supposed to go be sent to the wasteland, so to kill, like, the Mojave Desert, to kill civilization there. So you have the option of, like, redirecting them to be someplace else. You have the option of, like, targeting it to be one of the factions, so, like, the NCR, Kaiser's Legion. And then I think there's another option, but I forget. But basically, if you do that, it kind of defeats the purpose of the game in, I guess it's not, if you do the DLCs after, but you can't really do them after because it hardlocks you. Anyway, the story is just really interesting. There are obviously a little bit of holes because I'm trying to figure them out and it doesn't make sense. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this and haven't played Fallout New Vegas and you're like, CT, what the heck are you talking about? Might be. I'm trying to figure it out. But I think that the DLCs just, to wrap it up, I suppose, the DLCs just did a really good job of expanding on parts of the story and connecting them together. Because usually as a DLC, sometimes you'll have the stories and the people connect. But a lot of times if you have a DLC So, for example, in like Skyrim, you've got like the Dawnguard DLC, and then you've got the Dragonborn DLC. The Dragonborn DLC, you've got sort of that whole plotline, and that encompasses around that area, but doesn't go outside of that. In the Dawnguard, you've got that separate location, those separate characters, but they don't intertwine. And that's what I really like about Fallout New Vegas' DLCs, is because they do intertwine. Characters and places that you see and have gone to in one DLC reappear. You just see fragments of it in a different DLC. I think that that's really cool and pretty nifty. As far as other DLCs, and I'm gonna out myself. I'm gonna confess. This is my confession. There are certain games that I know are really cool. Certain games that I know have really awesome DLCs that I haven't played. And I'm here to tell you as such. Because these DLCs, when I was doing research, because obviously, like, I've got my own personal favorite DLCs, but then I was also just curious of, like, what other people claim to be their favorite DLCs. And there are three in particular. And these are games that all of them, I've tried to play, but for particular reasons, I have not played. So here's my confession. One of the best DLCs that has come out has been Oblivion's Shivering Isle DLCs. Here's my confession. I haven't played it. I haven't actually played the next three that I'm going to say for various reasons. For Oblivion, my computer simply cannot. And this seems like CC. You should play it because you claim to be somebody that plays a lot of video games and blah, 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 blah. And you haven't played The Elder Scrolls Oblivion? Yes, I haven't. Because every time I try to play the game, it crashes out and it makes me so mad because for whatever reason, I just can't get into it and it drives me bananas. So I've tried playing it. I've like played like 20 hours or something into it before it just kept on crashing at one point. I was like, screw this, man. So I haven't played it. But The Shivering Isles is very highly recommended. The next one I'm working on, okay, cut me some slack, I'm working on it, is the Blood and Wine DLC from The Witcher 3, which people really like just because it wraps up the story of The Witcher 3 really well and like Geralt's story. So I haven't played The Witcher 3, but I'm rectifying that because I can't tell you how many times I've started playing the game and I just can't get into it. It's one of the games that I know I would probably literally love and die for. Witcher 1, Witcher 2, Witcher 3, and Witcher 4, which has a name that I can't remember right now. But The Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, that's the one that I've actually been trying to get into more. I think I've tried playing the game like 6 times. I just haven't been able to get into it. And when I've played the game, because I've been trying over spring break, I've redownloaded it. I'm like, CC, you have to commit to the bit. You have to play the game. And I had to put it on story mode because I kept on dying so much. I'm just not good at dodging and rolling and doing that, like, not necessarily strategic combat, but like that up close, you have to do the timing of things very well. So I'll get there and I'll come back after I've played the game and I'll be like, I'll give you a review of why Blood and Wine is really good. The next one, which I'm going to tie them together because they're made by the same developers from FromSoft. And that's Bloodborne and the Elden Ring game. And I'm really sorry, guys. Because I know this has like a great fan base, like Elden Ring and Bloodborne and all of the Dark Souls games. I haven't played them because it's the combat of it. I can't stand it. It's kind of like Witcher 3, but not really at all, because it's all about like the premise of the game. You go fight these enemies and they're really hard. They're stupid hard. And you have to learn how the bosses fight and how they move. And I can't get into it. So I've watched many different playthroughs of other people playing it. But I know that's not the same. I haven't played it. But on the list of the many lists that I've seen were Bloodborne's DLC, The Old Hunters. And of course, the one that just came out for Elden Ring, The Shadow of the Erdtree. So those are my confessions. The DLCs of Oblivion's Shivering Isles, Witcher 3's Blood and Wine, Bloodborne's The Old Hunters, and Elden Ring's Shadow of the Erdtree, I know are probably in the like top 10 list of people's, but I haven't played them. I probably won't ever try to. I mean, I can't really play Bloodborne because I don't have the right console for it. Elden Ring, I bought it. I put in 10 hours trying to get past the first boss. Couldn't do it, guys. I can't tell you how many playlists I've searched up, or not playlists, videos I've searched up trying to give me tips and tricks on like what things to do first to try to build up your skills and stuff. It's not for me. I'm glad other people like it, but it ain't for me, bro. It ain't for me. So those are my lists. Dishonored, Knife of Dunwall, and The Brick and More Witches. Great. Would totally recommend. Mass Effect 3 Citadel. Also would recommend. I think that like if you're playing the Legendary Edition, you get all of the DLCs. I don't think the first one has any DLCs. 2's DLCs, not my favorite. Except Liara's Shadow Broker. That one's fun. 3, banger, aka the Citadel. Dragon Age Inquisitions. Actually, all of Dragon Age's, when I think about it, like the game as a whole, all of their DLCs are pretty good. Fallout New Vegas, definitely recommend those DLCs. Just because, as I've ranted about for, 15 minutes about why I like him, you should play him. Just because I think that the story is bomb.com. The ones that I haven't played, obviously Oblivion, Witcher 3, Bloodborne, Elden Rings, would recommend if you're into those kind of games. But I am not, so I shall not play it. But I encourage you to play them if you have not. But that's all for today's episode. Now, as always, Fireside Aces Radio is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent Magazine, published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experiential and academic learning in journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view. So that's it for this one. DLCs, bangers, love them. I think they are kind of annoying because you have to, unless you have like an Ultimate Edition or a Legendary Edition or one that has all of them, the DLCs are a little bit more money. I mean, you're already playing what? Games coming out nowadays are like $70, which is crazy. Thanks, economy. And the DLCs are always like an additional couple bucks. But I would definitely recommend checking them out because DLCs do a really good job of just adding to the story and the characters that you already know and love. So I would definitely give the ones that I've recommended and are my favorites a chance. The ones that I haven't played but have still recommended, give those a chance. But also just DLCs in general, if you're sort of like, yeah, I don't know if I actually like it, I would give it a whirl. But that's all that I got for you. Hope you have a fantabulous day. Ta-ta!